that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. I'm going to pause there just for a second. I just want you to understand is that what John is talking about here, what he's writing about, is so that you can actually experience not just joy, but you can experience full joy. And we're talking about the fullness of joy. Now verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all our sins. Now I'm going to pause here just for a second, because the next verses that I'm going to read, who are they written to? Unsaved or saved? Who's the context? John is writing to Christians. So I want you to keep in mind, because a lot of times we'll look at certain verses and say, oh, that's an unsaved person. I want you to keep in the context that who he's writing to is not unsaved people. Who he's writing to is saved people. So notice what it says now in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me pause a minute here too, because verse 9 we usually take as being the Christian verse. Sometimes we apply that for salvation. It's true, that can be applied for salvation, but it's not in the context of salvation, it's in the context of the Christian life. So verse 8 is in the context of the Christian life, verse 9 is in the context of the Christian life, and verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer and ask the Lord's blessing, and we'll look at this great verse. Father, we do ask you for your divine wisdom. Lord, we thank you for the victory that you've won over the evil one. Lord, thank you that we're seated with you at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power. Claim that victory this morning. Thank you for your precious word. Pray now that you'd bless, open our eyes, open our understanding. Lord, take us beyond the level of intellectual understanding to personal experience with you. Thank you for these dear people. Pray now that you'd bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What time do you stop? I need to ask that first.
About 10 to 11.
About 10 to, okay. All right, now I'm going to go through some series of questions with you, and if you want to respond, you're more than welcome. Usually, if I were sitting there, I wouldn't, to be honest with you, because I'm afraid I'm going to be wrong, and I'll be embarrassed. But I want you to feel free. You probably won't be wrong. You may not be going the same direction that I'm going, but you're not going to be absolutely wrong, and we're just going to kind of direct it in this particular way. So the first question that I have for you is, what is the main message of the book of 1 John? Now stop and think for a minute. What is the main message of the book of 1 John? Now I'm assuming that you've read 1 John, and I know it may not be in your immediate thinking right now, but if you could take a guess, what would be the main message of the book of 1 John? Now I'll give you a hint. How many of you were at camp? I'm assuming that number of you.
Kate,
it's okay. yesterday. It was in the memory verses. It was a statement about God. There you go. God is love. Right. Now let's go to those verses. This is really a little bit of a review here, but in chapter 4, notice what it says. Verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Then it talks about, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, I want you to drop down to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. Here again it's mentioned, God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So let's think a minute. Let's take into the context, the main message of the book would be what? God is love. Now, if you look in chapter 1 again at the very first verse, notice it says that which was from the beginning. We could actually go back to the beginning. We could actually go back to the beginning before creation, the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. I'm not leaving out the Holy Spirit. That's very significant. But this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I want you to know there was a love relationship. Even in the eternal beginning, before creation, there was a love relationship between God the Father and God the Son. When God created man, does anybody remember how God had fellowship with Adam and Eve?
They walked in the cool of the day.
They heard the voice of God walking in the cool of the day. Now, I want you just to think with me for a minute. Do you think that was pretty fun? I don't know if fun's the word. Nice, pleasant. I mean, in his presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. I don't know. I mean, how do you describe perfect love and the joy that's experienced in that sphere? I mean, you and I won't experience it now, but we will in heaven. Now, to a degree, we can now, but we will for sure in heaven. Well, let's go to when Jesus came into the world. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Then it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Okay, full of grace and truth. Now, it goes on to say that, let me get the beginning of this verse. It says, and of his fullness have we received, and then it says what? And grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, I just want you to think that when Jesus came, he manifested the grace of God. Grace is the outflow of his love. Now, how would you have viewed the Savior if you lived when he lived and were one of his followers? Let me ask you something. Is there any person that met him with any disease or illness that he did not cure? There is not one. Everyone who met him with any disease, any illness, even with death, of course, the dead person didn't meet him, but in light of death, he cured and healed them all. Is there anyone he did not forgive who asked him? None. Could you imagine viewing him? In him was life, and his life was the light of the world. It manifested the love of God. So, or it could be in the beginning of these believers that John is talking to, that the first thing that they learned is that God is love. Now, so that's the first one, and it's a little bit of review, but I wanted to set the stage of the context of the book. Okay, let's go to the second question. The second question, what is the main commandment of the book? First John now. What's the main commandment? Now, you may say one thing, and I'm not looking for it. I'm looking for the second. Yeah, exactly. The first commandment you would think is what?
Love God.
Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The second is like unto it, to love thy neighbors thyself. But the main commandment in 1 John is not to love God, though that is obviously extremely important and primary, but the main commandment of 1 John is to love one another. Now, let's look just at a couple of verses just to help us out here. Look at chapter 3 and verse 23. Now notice what it says. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God, or on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now turn back to chapter 2 and just look at verses 7 and 8. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment. Now notice what it says. Which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. By the way, the darkness past and the true light shining, I believe that in the Old Testament there was no manifestation in a person of God's perfect love. So in a sense, they were in darkness. But when Jesus came, he was full of grace and truth. He was the manifestation of God's perfect love, and the true light now shineth. He, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, turn back to chapter 3, and let's just read verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, so we have the main message of the book is the fact that God is love. The main commandment of the book is that we're to love one another. Now, here's where I really want to go is in verse 5 of chapter 1. Now, let's read that again. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, here's the question. What does it mean God is light? I want you to just think a minute. How would you define God is light? Now, to be honest with you, when I read this verse, okay, God's light, and I go on. What does it mean that he's light? How would you define that he's light? Yes?
I would use a definition in John chapter 1. In him was life, and the life was the light of
God. Okay, I'll go there. That's good. But what's the light?
The life.
Okay, now, obviously it would be the truth, but what is the truth? What is... Okay, now, think a minute. What's the message of the book? What's the main commandment of the book? What's the light? Love. You see, I'm just following the context. So it would be the manifestation of the perfect love of God. Now, you come to that, remember, in him was life, and his life was the light of men. And of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. Jesus' life was a light in the sense that it manifests the perfect love of God. Now, this is a message that God is light, and in him is no
darkness at all.
No lack of love. None. Now, let me give you another verse that kind of helps us with this concept that I think will be helpful. Obviously, we recognize that God is perfect love because it says, be ye therefore perfect even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. So we're to be perfect in love. That's the context of Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount. Because he is perfect in love. And let me give you another verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of... in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Now, as the Father of lights, what does he do? He gives gifts. It's the manifestation of his love. He's not only a giver, but he's a gracious giver. And any of his gifts, there's no shadow of turning, there's no bad. There is no bad in God, therefore there is no darkness in God, there's no shadow in God, the idea of a dark aspect, and therefore his giving is a manifestation of his perfect love. So, God is light, I would say, God is perfect love. Now, okay, you ready to go to verse 6? If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness and lie and do not the truth. Okay, let's go to the next statement here. What does it mean to have fellowship with God?
To
Now, there's two things I'm looking for. You may jump right to the right one, but there's two things I'm looking for. Actually, we find, what does it mean to have fellowship with God? Now, we talk about, if I asked you, are you in fellowship with God, you'd probably say, yeah. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean to have fellowship with God? Anybody want to take a wild guess? You won't be wrong.
Well, again, coming from John, he says...
Okay, yeah.
John says that if you obey my commandments...
Yeah, if you love me...
14,
keep my commandments.
Fellowship will abide with you.
Okay.
That idea.
Okay, that's exactly it. Now, let me go to a previous statement that might be a little bit helpful as far as coming to this particular point. Okay, who in the Old Testament God took without dying?
Enoch.
What did God say about Enoch? Enoch and was not, for God took him. So what was Enoch in all of his life in fellowship with God? In what way? He walked with God. Now, you know what walk means? So in other words, you know the two men on the road to Emmaus, they were walking with Jesus. It means to be in constant fellowship with him. You're walking with him every moment of the day. You're walking with him. Now, let's now go to what's been said. How do I define what it means to walk with God? It would be to walk in love. So in other words, what I would say is this. The God of love walks with those who... walk in love. How can two people walk together except they be agreed? What is the heart of God? Love. What does he command? Love one another. His light is perfect love, and so fellowship with him would be walking in love. Ephesians 5:2 says it. It says, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us. So fellowship with him would be walking in love. Okay, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. It's okay, we're coming to that though. What's walking in darkness?
Walking in love.
Ah, isn't it simple? So the main message is that God is love, and he commands us to love one another. And God, as a God of light, is a God of manifest love. And our fellowship with him is to walk with him in love. To walk in darkness would be to walk in unlove, if I can say it that way. Now turn to chapter 2, and let me read a couple of verses just so you can see it. In chapter 2, first of all, look at verse 9. We're going to skip verse 10, but we'll come back to it. He that saith he is in the light, now remember the light is the manifest love of God, he is in the light and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. Go to the next verse, verse 11, I mean. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, there's your walk in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So if God is light, my fellowship with him is to walk in that light or to walk in love. My walking in darkness is my walking in not loving my brother. Right? Are you with me so far? Is it okay? All right. So then we're walking in darkness. Now, let me just define the word hate. If I asked you, now don't answer me on this one if it's true. Is there anybody you despise? Now there may be, but I don't think any of us would say, yeah, I hate so-and-so. Now you have to understand hate, we usually associate with an animosity or I despise this person, I can't stand him, whatever, whatever, whatever. But you know that hate is not always to that extent. If any man hate not his mother, father, son, daughter, he cannot be my disciple. Now, obviously, Jesus is not saying, unless you despise your parents, you can't be my disciple. He's obviously not saying that. So I can also say, for me to say I hate a person doesn't necessarily mean I despise him. It could be something less than that. I could resent that person. I could be upset with that person. I could say I don't quite like that person. I don't prefer to be around that person. I avoid that person. Hope it's not your wife or husband, but anyways, I avoid that person. You see what I'm saying? So the concept, if I say, okay, if I say I have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, I lie and do not the truth. Well, you know, if walking in darkness is hating a person, I'm not walking in darkness. But in reality, I could be, because it doesn't mean just animosity or hatred. It could be I don't like that person. Now, we're getting to the rough stuff, okay? Okay, if I say I have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, I, what? Lie. Okay, what does it mean to lie? You see what I'm saying? In other words, I'm lying. So the concept here would be like this. If any man say, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a... Whoa. Now let me bring it down to the lower shelf. In other words, I could say, man, I had great devotions today. You know, I love God. I'm walking with him. I'm in fellowship with him. But I tell you what, my wife really irritated me, and I'm still not over it. What am I? Isn't that interesting? I mean, that's really phenomenal. So in other words, if I say I'm right with God and I'm having a problem with someone else, I'm a liar. Now, none of us want to be liars. I don't want to be a liar. You don't want to be a liar. But we have to understand something, that what God is saying is very important. Because he's a God of love, and he does command us to love one another, and if you say, or if I say I'm right with him and I'm not loving my brother, from God's perspective, I'm a liar. I'm not doing right. Now let's go to the second part, because I think this is helpful. This one we may be a little bit difficult. Is a liar and the truth is not in him. Now what does it mean that the truth is not in him? And we could go a number of different directions, and you're not going to be wrong, but I want to focus it down to one point. What does it mean the truth is not in him? The truth about who?
He's on fellowship with God. Is that where he's going?
Okay, well, kind of.
Well, when you have the spirit of truth in us, and if we're not walking in truth,
not walking according to his word. Okay, that's good too. So if I'm not telling you the truth, I'm telling you a lie. So if I'm not living the truth, I'm not, and I'm living a lie, I'm not being honest. Now, I want to clarify this, and I don't know if I'm explaining it quite the way I want to. So I want you to read this passage. You all know it. It's from John chapter 3. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Now listen to this verse in context now. But he that doeth, what? Truth, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. Now, when I used to read this verse, I used to think, well, the contrast between he that does evil and he that does good. But it doesn't say he that doeth good. It says he that doeth truth. Darkness in the context is me wanting to hide my sin rather than coming to the light, where it would be reproved, or more literally be exposed. Whatever doth make manifest is light. So what this is saying is that a person who is sinning wants to hide their sin in darkness rather than be honest and come to the light to be exposed.
They don't want to get caught.
Exactly. Or they don't want to be honest. So a person who says they have fellowship, but they're walking in darkness, they're not loving a person the way God would love us. Not only are they a liar, but they're deceived. They don't see the reality of what they're doing. They're not being honest and they're not being truthful. Do you see what he's saying? It makes sense to me now what he's getting at in my life. If God is love, and the commandment is to love one another, and his light is the manifestation of his perfect love. Fellowship with him is walking with him in love, and really him loving others through me. That when I say I'm right with him, but I don't love someone, I'm a liar and I'm deceived. Now, let me say something. This is going to be, I know this is going to be hard, and I'm not trying to be hard because we're coming to the positive part. So, I say that I love God, but I'm not loving, I'm going to just make this, I'm not loving my people. I'm a pastor. Or I'm not loving my wife. Or I'm not loving my husband. Or I'm not loving my children. Or I'm not loving my parents. What am I? I'm a liar, I'm dishonest, and I'm walking in darkness. Isn't that amazing? That is powerful. Now, let's go a little bit positive now. We'll do that. Let's go to verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. So now what does it mean to walk in the light? Sure. So in other words, walking in the light would be this concept that number one, I'm seeing how much God loves me. If God so loved us, we, remember the memory verse? Ought to love one another. I mean, it just makes sense. So the more you see God's love for you, the more you'll want to love one another because of how much God has loved you. So walking in the light is true walking in love, but it's more than just walking in love, because the Bible teaches us that what doth make manifest is light, what does expose is light. So when I see the light of his love, it reveals my unlove. It shows me where I'm not loving the way he loved me. So it's not only me walking in love, but it's also me saying, oh wow, that was harsh. I was harsh in saying what I said to my wife. Or, you know, wow, I disciplined my children, but you know, I was really irritated with them. And it wasn't right to irritate them. I mean, to discipline them out of irritation, I need to be disciplining them out of love. You know, I really don't like being around that person and I avoid them. And you know, that's wrong. Do you know how much God could really help us if we walked in the light, loving others as he loved us? Do you realize the transformation of a person's life? Especially in the home. You know, we've been dealing with the home. Especially in a church. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, is that you have love one toward another. It's a powerful truth. Now, how do you know? I'm going to just read these to you. I'm not going to go into great detail with them. With these characteristics. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you want to, you can turn there. We have time. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I've got 3, but it's 13. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to begin in verse 4. And the word charity, you know, is love. So it's agape, so I'm going to just say it as love. So I'm going to read in verse 4. It says, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, let me explain something. What commentators say, and I believe this to be true, this is not a definition of love. The definition of love is complete self-denial of oneself for the benefit of another, even to death. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loved us in that he died for us. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man laying down his life for his friend. So in other words, the concept of love, its definition, is a complete self-denial of myself for the benefit of another person that would obviously love as God loves. So what this is, as not a definition of love, it's a description of love. So if you're loving, this is what it will look like. This is how it will manifest itself. So if you go back to this particular passage, it's long-suffering. Now, the idea of long-suffering is that you love a person with their fault and you give them time to change, as opposed to being irritated with them. if you go to is kind. By the way, this particular Greek word is not only talking about an attitude of kindness, it certainly is an attitude of kindness, but it's an attitude of kindness that does things to help people. And it's not just helping people you like, it's helping people, quote unquote, you don't like. It's being serviceable is really the concept of the word. You're willing to serve people. Then notice it says, it envieth not. It does not get jealous, become envious about the promotion of other people or the recognition of other people. When you thought you should have gotten the recognition, you know, when they got the prizes for the, what are those things that we did at lunch, dress up for different things, you were not envious that you didn't get picked. Yeah, that's what it means. And you know, that's what I'm saying. All right, or you didn't get picked to teach that Sunday school class, or you didn't get picked to do this. So it's not envious. Now, it vaunteth not itself. It's not arrogant. The idea of arrogance is that you look down at other people. You think you're better than other people. It doesn't do that. Then it's not puffed up. It's not proud. It does not behave itself unseemly. You know, in other words, it doesn't act rude in front of people, which means it's always courteous. You know, it'd be like the husband opening the door for the wife, or, you know, being courteous to do this for this person, courteous to move to let someone else sit down. Some lady's standing and you're sitting and you would get up to let her sit down. It's that kind of it's not being rude. It's being courteous to people, thoughtful. Now, then it says, it's not unseemly, seeketh not her own, it's not selfish. We could go into a lot of things of that. It's not easily provoked. In other words, you don't get angry. You don't get irritated. You don't get mad. Then it says, it thinketh no evil. This is a very important one because the literal thing is it takes no record of evil. I remember a particular person who had an offense towards someone else, and here's what this lady said. I have 10 things I'm upset for you about. And she had them written down and listed. It doesn't keep a ledger of wrongs. It doesn't make a list of what people have done. You know, when you get into an argument or you get into a dispute with your wife, where remember what you did? You just kept a list of wrongs. You don't do that. It forgives and it doesn't bring it up anymore. And then, of course, it thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This is a description of love. This is what it will look like when we're walking in the light, recognizing God's perfect love towards us, and then following that main command of loving one another. Okay, let's go to this. There's two results. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, number one, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Now, I like this. The two aspects of it, or the two results of walking in the light, is one, we have fellowship one with another. Now, I want you to go to chapter 2 again, and I want to read verse 10. There's a very significant statement made there as far as loving other people. This would be very, very helpful. So 1 John chapter 2 and verse 10, that's the verse we skipped. It says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Now, look at this next statement, and there is what? There's none or there's no occasion of stumbling in him. Now, do you know what that means? I will live in such a way, loving you, I will never be a cause for your stumbling. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Whatever I say to you, wherever I go, whatever I do, however I dress, however I think, I would never in any, even if it's something legitimate for me to do, but it would cause you to stumble, I just wouldn't do it. Why? Because you love people the way God loves people. There's no occasion of stumbling. You'll never cause another person to stumble. Now, do we ever cause people to stumble? Of course. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. I fail all the time. But I've got the blood for cleansing. Doesn't mean I'm done, I'm washed up, I might as well quit, I can never do this. I can be cleansed the very instant I say, wow, Lord, that was unloving. I am sorry. I take the blood of Jesus Christ for cleansing. And you know, from God's perspective, immediately you're clean. Perfectly clean. Completely clean and perfectly restored to fellowship with Him. Look it. As God revealed me through Joy's cancer and through her death, I saw what I was more than ever before from God's perspective. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, I would quit. I am clean. I am forgiven. Do you know why? It's not so much that the blood is precious to me. This was another truth that helped me tremendously. It's because the blood of Jesus is precious to Him. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And because I know the blood is precious to Him, it becomes precious to me because it is precious to Him. He holds the blood as precious. And I'm clean. Every whit, as Dr. Flanders has preached. I don't know if he's preached it here or not. You are clean every whit. Now, so what happens when I'm restored to fellowship? I like this too, because in a home we fail frequently. And immediately we can be cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can get right with the other person. And then what God does is He restores something that's very important. It's what you have when you're in fellowship with Him. And I'm going to just mention it in two ways. It's called joy and peace. Remember what John said? These things write unto you that your joy may be full. Doesn't mean you never sin. It just means when you do, you see it, you're cleansed, and you're restored to fellowship with God, and you're walking in love. And in His presence is the fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. You have His joy again. And your family can see the power of His life, the power of His blood, what it means to walk with God. Wow! What a blessing. Now, the rest of the verses are, I believe, an explanation of what's already been said. So verses 8 through 10. So verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Now, what does it mean to say that we have no sin? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What does it mean to say we have no sin? Well, let me kind of help with that. Does it mean that I'm saying I'm perfect? I have no sin, I'm a perfect person, and what would you all say? No way! Would anyone here say I'm a perfect person? Now, if you would, don't raise your hand, but anyways. No one would say they're a perfect person. I don't think that's what it's referring to. If I say I have no sin in the sense that, Lord, I'm not failing to love my wife. I'm not failing to love my husband. I'm not failing to love my kids. I'm not failing. I don't see anywhere that I'm not loving anyone. You know, if I say I have no sin, what's it say? If we say we have no sin, we're deceived. Do you know, if I don't walk in the light where God manifests His love and reveals my sin, do you know what I'm opening the door to? To living a life of deceit. I can be a pastor, I have been, and could be now, a deceived pastor if I'm not walking in love. Not only do you open yourself for deceit, but here again, the truth is not in you. You're not honest to the truth. You're not willing to see yourself the way God sees you. What's the contrast? If we confess. You know, the word of confess means to agree with God. Yes, God, what you say about me is true. If we confess our sins, He is faithful every time to cleanse us from our sins, to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you know what unrighteousness is.
It's, so what you just explained is more of a state of mind. Right? Isn't this what you're saying, that we ought to walk in the idea that we should always be agreeing with God, that
yes.
We are made in such a way that right now, in our earthly state, we're going to fall short.
Yeah, in other words, what it is saying, God, the thing that I want most is to know your love for me. We love him because? Yeah. So, Lord, reveal your love to me. Now, honestly, in the revelation of that love, you'll want to love. You will. But you'll fail. So what you do is say, Lord, help me to walk in the light. And he says, that irritation was wrong. Got it. Now, you know, I used to get irritated. Someone will say, well, do you ever get irritated still? Of course I do. But now I see it. Before I was irritated and I didn't see it. And that was deception. There you have it. I wasn't being honest with myself and I was living in deception. But when God revealed my irritation towards the faults of other people, which I had a worse fault by my irritation toward them, now I say, wow, there's that irritation again. Wow, oh, there's that bad thought again. Oh, there's my negative thinking of that person again. You see? Now you see it. And what do? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now you're walking in love, you're walking in light, you're walking with God, you're in fellowship with him. Let me give you a little illustration. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he was walking across the street in London, and he stopped in the middle of the street, he took his hat off, bowed his head, put his hat back on, and finished walking across the street. Have you heard this one? So afterwards, another pastor saw him, or a brother saw him, and he said, I saw you stop in the middle of the road, and you took your hat off, bowed your head. He said, what were you doing? He says, oh, a little cloud came between me and the Lord. And I got it right then. So what he was doing, he was walking with God, where God always reveals those little things in our life, and you get them right, and you trust him for the strength to do right. You do it as a walk. You keep doing it. Now let me, don't answer me on this. When is the last time you've confessed a sin? Can you see what I'm saying? It's very easy for us to go on and think we don't sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, let's go to the last one. This is not fun either. So, look at verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So, what does it mean for me to say we have not sinned? Now, this gets a little bit more, I guess we could say, rebellious, I don't know, disobedient. What would it say if we say we have not sinned and we make God a liar? What would that be? Well, it would be something like this. God says this is sin and I say, no, it's not. You're not loving your wife? Yes, I am. You're not dealing with your children? Yes, I am. You're not loving them, winning their heart? Yes, I am. I'm okay. You're not. Now, we would never say that, but we do it. I used to blame God for everything. Not intentionally. I never said, oh, God, I blame you for this. But, you know, you say, why, God? Why? Don't even have to say God. Just why? Why'd that person say that? Tell me. You let them. You see what I'm saying? You inadvertently blame him. It's the woman thou gavest me, Lord. That was Adam and Eve. So when God says this is this, and I say I don't quite see it the way you see it, I'm making him a liar, and then what does it say? His word is not in us. Now what does it mean that his word's not in us? It's you and I, we have an understanding of the Bible to a certain extent. We could say as far as understanding the Bible intellectually, that's in us, but the word is not effective in us. It's not changing our lives. It's not doing what God intended the word of God to do. So when God says this and I say no, I make him a liar and his word is no longer having an effect in our lives. So you can sit through service after service. You can have your devotions and the word of God. It's going, processing through your mind. You may be memorizing it, but it's not changing you. Do you see the power of 1 John chapter 1 now? And the concept of God is love, God is light, walking in fellowship versus walking in darkness, walking in light, having a sensitivity towards God to make things right, be careful that I'm honest, I'm not making God a liar, I'm allowing God's word to have its effect in my life. 1 John chapter 1 just has opened up. May God help us to apply it, okay? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for its richness, and we thank you for its power. Lord, thank you that you love me and you love these people more than we'll ever know. Even in heaven, I believe we'll be growing in the reality of how much you love us. Lord, would you open our eyes to see the manifest, even the perfect love that you have for us, that, Lord, in return, we may love others as you have loved us, and we may walk in the light and be clean through the blood when we fail and trust you for the power to obey. Now bless, we pray, and guide and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen.